for this morning is all from the Gospel Luke, chapter 17, from verse 11 to verse 19. Gospel Luke, chapter 17, from verse 11 to verse 19. Let's read these verses. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have a pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to praise God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." So far with the scripture reading. And after the sermon, we'll respond with singing Psalm 18, stand 1. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, our text today records the story of our Lord Jesus who healed 10 sinners with leprosy. Of these 10 healed lepers, only one returned to thank and praise God, while the other 9 crossed the river and left. We may be puzzled and even angry with these 9 ungrateful people. We may say, what a group of ungrateful people. But in real life, are we not like those 9 people who often fail to offer thanks for all the favors, blessings we have received from God? Are we not like those 9 people who often fail to live a life of gratitude in obedience to God? We are no more thankful today than people were in the days of our Lord Jesus. And in terms of ingratitude, people today are more ungrateful than ever. Therefore, we must think about this passage of Scripture today to get the warnings and the enlightenment from it. Therefore, I preach to you under this theme. 10 are healed, but only 1 gives thanks. And under this theme, we have 4 points to share. And at the first point, the desperate community. At the second point, the compassion of Jesus. And at third point, the shocking response. And in last place, profound reflections. Now the first point, a desperate community. Leprosy was still a complicated skin disease to cure in the time of Jesus and was primarily considered a terminal disease. It was so contagious that it started with a discolored patch of skin, which then began to turn white or pink. The skin begins to break down and rotten flesh appears, resulting in deformation of the face, hands and feet, and necrosis of nerve endings. At this point, a leprosy patient loses feelings in her or his limbs. Leprosy is a death sentence. You will have to die slowly in a painful struggle. Therefore, leprosy was one of the most terrible diseases in ancient times. Because of this, God gave special instructions in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14 for diagnosing leprosy and treating the patient. Whenever there is an infection on the skin or redness, you must have a priest identify it if he determines that you have a leprosy. In addition, you must leave outside the camp. You were not allowed to leave and have a contact with normal people. And you will live in a miserable and desperate life, tormented by the disease and isolated from the world. So, who were these 10 lepers that Jesus met in this small village on the border of Galilee and Samaria? And who were they? The context tells us that 9 of the 10 lepers were Jews, and 1 was a Samaritan. The Samaritans were the descendants of Assyrians and other foreigners who intermarried with the Israelites who stayed there when the northern kingdom of Israel fell. It was the Samaritan that the Jews despised the most. These two peoples were enemies of each other and did not live together. But in our text today, the 9 Jewish lepers and the 1 Samaritan leper got along quite well. And their desire to leave brought them together. In the Bible, leprosy is a picture of sin. Like leprosy, sin is a terminal disease. Just as only God can heal leprosy, only God can save the sinner. Like a sin, leprosy penetrates deeper into the skin, spreads and infects, contaminates. Because of the contagious nature of leprosy, the leper was left alone outside the camps. And in the same way, we must stay away from sin if we do not want to be defiled by it. Clothes contaminated with leprosy germs were to be burned. Likewise, the souls of those contaminated and lost by sin must be punished in the fires of hell. Therefore, 10 lepers needed physical healing and the salvation of their souls. Like us, they needed to accept, trust in the Savior, Jesus Christ, and to thank and praise Him. Now this leads us to the second point, the compassion of Savior. We see that when Jesus entered the village, these lepers, though they greeted Jesus, stood at a distance and cried out, "Lord Jesus, have mercy on us." Now this plea came from those who would no longer find any mercy, but could only see the curse. After seeing such a plea, our Lord Jesus said to them, "Go, show yourself to the priest." Now at the first glance, you probably think that Jesus was putting off. He had no intention of healing them. Asking them to go for an examination was just a way of giving up any hope. Jesus wanted to heal them very much. But he wanted to heal them according to the requirements of the Mosaic law. It was up to the priests to determine whether the lepers had healed. So Jesus was going to use the mouth of the priest to announce that they were completely healed of their leprosy. Otherwise, no one would believe you were healed. That's not the whole story. The scripture says they were cleansed as they went. They were not healed on their way to, they were all healed on their way to the priest. Not before they went, not after they went with the priest. This means they were still lepers when they left to go to the priest. We can imagine that these lepers would have thought under normal circumstances when Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. What? Let's go and see the priest? What are you asking him to examine? Isn't it obvious? As soon as the priest sees us, he has to say that nothing has changed. I smell the stench of your rotting wounds before you ever walked into my office. You are still lepers. Go back. However, not one of the 10 lepers had the slightest hesitation or doubt. On the contrary, after hearing Jesus' command, they immediately went to the priest. It shows that they had complete faith in Jesus and were convinced he would heal them. When they took the first step forward, they were still lepers. And when they took the second step, nothing happened. But as they took firm steps forward, gradually miracles happened. Miracles they could not even think of and dream of. They were all healed. According to the Mosaic law, lepers did not deserve anything. They had to wait for their death. The Lord Jesus did not owe them anything at all. But when the 10 desperate lepers met Jesus, they met grace. Now we come to the third point, a shocking response. Just like that, all 10 lepers were healed. But this is not the end of the story. And not even the center of the story either. For another miracle is about to occur. The text says that only one returned to praise God and who had healed them. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him and praised God with a loud voice. He was a Samaritan. How could he not do so? He was healed of his leprosy. For many years he had to live far from society, far from his family, and had been forgotten by his friends because of his leprosy. Now suddenly, he was cured. He was healthy again, clean, and no longer an outcast. No wonder he was loudly thanking and praising God. It was not the 9 Jews who came back to give thanks, but only one of them is Samaritan. As we said earlier, because Samaritans were of mixed blood, they were the most despised people among the Jews. As far as faith is concerned, compared with Jews, the Samaritans knew very little about the Word of God, and most of what he didn't know was wrong. But the Samaritan knew that Jesus had saved him. And he knew to thank God. The fact that only this Samaritan came back to give thanks and praise God shows that often those who should come back to give thanks the most do not give thanks to God. While those whom we think are the least likely to give thanks to God, those whom we despise the most raises their voices to thank God and praise Him. The whole story presents us with a living and realistic picture of life. First, it's a picture of fullness of God's grace, in which the gracious God performed a miracle and wholly healed 10 lepers at one time. Second, is a picture of widespread ingratitude of people. 9 out of 10 people forget the grace they have received and the God who gave it to them. Thirdly, it is a picture of unexpected grace. Gratitude often bursts forth in the person you least expect it. This leads us to the last point, profound reflection. Now let's look again at how Jesus dealt with this Samaritan. We see that Jesus asked 3 questions. The first is, were not all 10 cleansed? The answer is yes. The second is, where are the other nine? The answer is they all left. The third question is, have no one returned to give praise? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And again, the answer is there are 9 left. If we listen carefully, we can hear and feel that this situation saddened the Lord Jesus. He wanted to know where all those people had gone and whether they had been healed. He wanted to know why they did not return to say thank you. We need to know that God sees our heart. So it is not that Jesus does not know where they have been and why they didn't come to give thanks. Jesus here is asking questions like this for us, the readers. He's calling us to reflect. You will see that these 10 men were similar in every way. They all had a leprosy. All social outcasts. All decided to beg Jesus to heal them. All believed that Jesus could heal them. All obeyed Jesus' command. And they all healed. The difference between them was that one folded back and the other 9 left. One gave thanks and the other 9 did not. One received 2 miracles and the other 9 received only 1. That was the miracle. The Samaritan was healed of his disease. His sins were forgiven. That was the miracles of 2. Jesus said to this thankful man, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Which means that your faith has saved you in the original language. Gratitude is a beautiful emotion. A morality of being a human being. A minimum fulcrum of being a human being. Having a thankful heart toward God enables you to bear more of God's blessing. On the other hand, an unthankful heart is the leprosy of our hearts, which eats away at our hearts, destroys our happiness, weakens our joy and compassion, and makes us incapable of praising God. It makes us insensitive to God's blessings. Brothers and sisters, to be thankful, you must first be a person who knows grace. How can you be thankful if you don't know grace? Therefore, when you recognize the goodness of God from your heart and what God has done for you, you will not walk away and not praise Him. You will not fail to pray to Him. And you will not fail to testify to Him. When we count our blessings from time to time, when we understand that all blessings come from the Heavenly Father, when we realize that our own life is also a gift from the Father, when we truly realize that everything we have is a gift from God, we will have a grateful heart. At this point, whether being forced or not out of helplessness, we will begin to praise God from our hearts instead of boasting. We will begin to give instead of actively counting and taking. We will begin to serve instead of always thinking about being served. And our lives will begin to be more abundant and prosperous. When we realize that we are born with leprosy in our hearts, when we realize and see with our hearts what Jesus has done for our salvation, when we realize that everything we have is from God, and when we truly realize as the children of God, we are called to do good works, then we have a grateful heart. At that time, a duty becomes a privilege for you. The law becomes a grace for you. What you are asked to do becomes something you are willing and eager to do. The work that does not appeal to you becomes a job you enjoy, you love. The blessings that are taken for granted become undeserved grace and become sincere praise and thanks to God. Brothers and sisters, as the saying goes, gratitude is a small virtue, but ingratitude is a great evil. Therefore, we should live with a grateful heart. We should thank God for the warmth of the sun, the clear water of the river, the earth of a living space, the good parents who brought us to earth, and the family, friendship, the love that God has given us on earth. Living with a thankful heart will enable us to live without fear and have a peace of mind in any situation. Someone summed it up very nicely. Thank God for allowing others to hurt you, because the hurt has sharpened your mind. Thank God for allowing others to stumble over you, because it has strengthened your leg. Thank God for allowing you to be cheated by a liar, because it has enhanced your wisdom. Thank God for allowing you to be despised, because it has awakened your self-esteem. Thank God for allowing you to be abandoned, because it has taught you to be independent. Thank God for allowing you to feel, because this event made you a person with a story to tell. Thank God for allowing you to succeed, because this event has filled your life with excitement and the beauty of writing. Thank God for allowing you to to win applause and encouragement because it gives you more energy and courage. And thank God for giving you wisdom and encouragement because it reminds you of your self-knowledge and shows you what you can and what you cannot. A grateful heart can give us a positive outlook and a healthy mindset and open us to a life of abundance and richness. A grateful heart can make us always satisfied and happy. A grateful heart can teach us how to care for and help others. A grateful heart can make us study diligently and work hard. A grateful heart will make us love ourselves honestly. And grateful heart can make us tolerant and win true love and friendship. A grateful love can turn a simple meal into a feast, a house into a home, a strangers into friends. As a famous Chinese saying goes, life needs a grateful heart to make, and a grateful heart needs a life to nourish. On that day, 10 lepers were healed, but only one returned, thank God. Which category do you belong? Are you the same as those 9? Are you the same as the one who gave thanks? In other words, are you the person who is thankful to God, who is rooted in the church, who has set himself up, and who obeys God's commandment? Or are you the person who is ungrateful to God, who has used the church, then betrayed it? Some Christians today take God's blessing for granted and are ungrateful. Does this sound like you? Some Christians feel great as long as they do a little for the church, and then they inflate their ego and point fingers to others. Some Christians are unwilling to do anything to build up church, but they are incredibly enthusiastic about tearing down the church, spreading gossip, watching the fun. Does this sound like you? Some believers, whenever they feel that the teaching and administration of the church are not to their liking, will pick holes in the church, either by saying that it's wrong here or by saying that it is wrong there. When they do something for the house of God, there are also Christians who want to give credit and complain that they have too much responsibility for church and have done too much for the church. Others are titular members of God's family and never participate in any activity except coming to church on Sundays, as if everything that happens in church has nothing to do with them. Does this sound like you? Brothers and sisters, praise is a choice. Having a great heart is a choice for you. Bitterness is self-inflicted. Not because you are forced to. You live the way you have chosen to live. The one who fought back and thanked Jesus chose not to forget what Jesus has done for him. The secret to having a thankful heart is to make a conscious choice not to forget what God has done for you and to be aware of the grace. May we also remember what God commanded us this Thanksgiving season in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, from verse 16 to 18 there. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in everything. And this is the will of God for you in Jesus Christ. Amen.